If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
How we talk to ourselves matters. It sets the tone for every experience in our life. Our guest today suggests that when, in truth, we speak out loud the words that swirl relentlessly in the fog of our minds, so also will deep healing take place. It's our understanding and experience that our voice is a sacred instrument and is a powerful guide in releasing emotions, traumas, and difficult memories that are stored in our bodies. It can also be dramatically effective in transforming our lives in meaningful ways. As we start speaking to ourselves out loud with kindness and curiosity, our body will loosen up and speak back to us. Today, we'll be exploring how to go about practicing this compelling process that has infinite implications for our well-being with our guest, Basavi Kumar. Basavi Kumar is a first-generation Indian-American and is a life coach and licensed therapist who holds degrees in social work and special education from Hofstra and Columbia Universities. She runs the Say It Out Loud Safe Haven community for coaches, creatives, and entrepreneurs. She's the author of Say It Out Loud, Using the Power of Your Voice to Listen to Your Deepest Thoughts and Courageously Pursue Your Dreams. Join us for the next hour as we explore the power of talking to ourselves out loud with our guests, Basavi Kumar. I'm speaking with Basavi in her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Basavi, welcome.
Hello, Justine. It's so wonderful to be here. How are you today?
I am well today. Thank you for asking. And I would love for you to just fill us in on a little bit of your background when you were growing up with immigrant parents and you were a loudmouth. Am I correct in that?
No one has ever started off this question. And, you know, I'm so happy you said that. I was a loudmouth. I still am a loudmouth. I still get in trouble for my loudmouth. But I think it's because I just say what people are thinking and don't really expect you to say out loud. But yeah, when I was a kid, I got in trouble a lot, you know, because I was often the mouthpiece that no one asked for. But I could sense that my parents, who didn't really know how to communicate, they had stuff that they wanted to say. And I really felt for them. I did the job of feeling for my parents, you know, and I spoke for them and advocated for whichever parent I was feeling closer to that day. Sometimes I'd advocate for my mother, spoke up for my mother. to my dad, and sometimes I would speak up for my father to my mother, and I was basically each of their mouthpieces. By the way, no child should ever play that role.
Oh, right. I know. Yeah. I know. I'd love for you to tell the story, because I think it was really significant in your life when early on you were doing, I'm not sure how old you were, but early on you were doing some therapy, and the therapist had you draw a picture of you and your family. And then she had you talk about it. And I think that you say something about it was the first time that you connected the inner internal experience with your voice and saying something out loud. Can you describe that and how powerful that might have been for you?
Yeah, my therapist, Virginia Cummins, asked me to draw a photo of how I, like, draw a photo of your family. That's all she said. And I drew a photo of my sister. It was a stick figure. My sister was reading, which is what she always did. She holed up in her room and read. My father, I had him holding his briefcase because he always carried a briefcase to work. And then I had a photo of me on the very edge of the paper. And then I had a photo of my mother as this towering monster over all of us. And my mother and my therapist asked me, like, how do you feel looking at this drawing? And I said to her, I don't feel like I belong in my family. And that's exactly the visual representation that I drew, is, you know, my mom, my dad, my sister on one side of the paper, and then me outside of them, because I didn't feel like I belonged in that family. You know, I don't know what it was. I mean, I do know what it was, but I remember how powerful it was being able to actually express that out loud and not being invalidated in doing
right,
so.
Right, right. There you go. That's one of the keys. Vasavi, I'd love for you to actually share with us, what is this process of saying things out loud to ourselves? What is it? And describe the process.
In the most simplest form, Justine, this is about talking to the different parts of yourself, asking questions to yourself out loud and responding back, which this is the part where it starts to get taboo. This is the part where it starts to get like, oh, I don't want to be those people. I don't want to be somebody who not only talks to themselves out loud, but you're asking me to respond back. Yes, I'm asking you to respond back, because what I propose in my book and what I believe and live by in my book and what I teach is that we have many different parts inside of us. We have many different sub-personalities inside of us, many different energies and voices inside of us, and that each of these parts carry its own wisdom. Every part of us, every younger part of us, the playful parts of us, the parts of us that may be triggered and annoyed, every single part of us, and it's mostly the parts of us that we've dismissed and disowned, these are the parts of us that we have to bring back into our lives. And the way that we do that is by creating a seat at the proverbial table, right? For these different parts of us. And the way that I say that we do that is by talking to it, talking to these parts of us and finding out, what do these parts of us need? How do these parts of us want to express itself? So I think, you know, the way that I've really laid it out in my book is a fun way for us to get to know ourselves. And you know what? You don't even need an expensive journal. All you need is the willingness to ask yourself questions out loud and respond back. You just need your voice.
One of the questions that you use that I think is just so important is that you ask the question, what does this part of me need to say out loud? And for me, what I do is I actually give these parts of me a name. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, I spoke to Grumpy Griselda. And I said, okay, speak to me. There's a saying, I think it's Franciscan priest Richard Rohr, and he says, if we do not transform our pain, we will most assuredly transmit it. So in that way, if Griselda is grumpy, then I'm going to probably be grumpy out in the world unless I give her a voice. I've tried it. And the other thing that I want to ask you about is when we talk to this part of ourselves, you suggest that it's most effective if we do it in front of a mirror. So describe why, how does that work and why is that effective?
So I think it's important that we're able to look at ourselves. Simply stated, it's important that we look at ourselves, we acknowledge ourselves, and we see ourselves and we hear ourselves, because too often we get stuck in approval addiction, right? We're waiting for other people to validate our emotions. Is this okay? Is it okay that I feel this way? Is it okay that I want to go after this dream? Like, who are you literally waiting for permission from, right? Why are you waiting for permission from somebody out there? The only person that needs to validate and permit you the life that you want to live is you. And so sometimes it's hard to do that when you're just like with yourself and you're not used to actually conjoining and convening with yourself. And so I recommend, you know, all the exercises and the prompts and the questions that you ask yourself, you do it in front of a mirror. So you start to see you. Like, this is about building that relationship with yourself. And it is a challenge for people to look in front of the mirror. And that's why I want you to do it, because how you feel about yourself when you look in front of the mirror, how you speak to yourself when you look in front of the mirror, that tells me everything. That will tell you everything about your relationship to yourself. You don't need to be years in therapy like I was. You just need to stand in front of a mirror and say out loud how you're feeling about yourself. What do you think about yourself? You can tell a lot about your relationship to yourself when you look in the mirror. You can't hide from yourself when you look in the mirror. And that's why I suggest that you do it in front of a mirror.
So in the process, but I want to be really, really clear about this process. If I stand in front of a mirror, I'll give you an example that I've used. When I'm in resistance for some reason, I'm procrastinating, I'm going on email or texting people or something and just avoiding what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in a resistance. And so I might go to resistant Rosie and say, Rosie, tell me, can you be on board for this project? And what is the root of this resistance here? I want to listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say. I am curious to speak out what you need, because I truly want to hear you, so forth. And then I pause. Mm-hmm. And I just sit there until I hear something. Now, am I getting this process?
You might as well, you know, wrote my book, because that's, literally stand in front of the mirror. And I will say this, I want to add a little caveat. I know you call it resistance Rosie. In my book, I say, you know, name your parts, and I like to use my name. So when I'm really angry and, you know, that's vicious Vasavi.
I'm going to ask you to pause, because I really want you to share this so fully. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Vasavi Kumar, and she is the author of Say It Out Loud, Using the Power of Your Voice to Listen to Your Deepest Thoughts and Courageously Pursue Your Dreams. And if you want to know more about her work, go to her website, vasavikumar.com, and she spells her name VASAVIKUMAR.com. That's Vasavi Kumar, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Well,
night. When day was dark and there was light. When there was the earth, there was the sky. And there in the tree they crawled a lie.
I'm here with Vasavi Kumar, and we're talking about talking out loud to ourselves. And Vasavi, you were just about to say, all right, in front of the mirror, you're using your own name, but you're giving it like an extra little.
Yeah, I'm giving it an oomph. So I mean, I know you said Resistance Rosie, and you said Grumpy. You said Grumpy
Griselda, right?
And I think that's great, but I do think it's even more powerful when you use your own name, right? So I would say Vicious Vasavi. Vicious Vasavi, you don't want to mess with Vicious Vasavi. Vicious Vasavi, when she is feeling vicious, like she feels under attack, I know what she needs is really just someone to hold her and tell her, your anger is valid. You have every right to feel this way. Talk to me, I'm here. Instead of trying to fix her feelings and fix her anger, you know, when she feels vicious and she wants to attack, it's because she usually feels like she's under attack. She feels like nobody gets her. She feels like nobody understands her. And then we can go from Vicious Vasavi to then Vulnerable Vasavi, right? Vicious Vasavi just needs to feel safe enough to feel vulnerable and say the vulnerable thing. So we have to create that space within ourselves for these parts of ourselves to express. So doing that in front of the mirror, the way you laid that out so beautifully, it was so beautiful, right? Like the other day, Justine, when I was feeling resistance around something. I just could not get myself to like get up and go do the thing. Feeling a little, maybe I was hormonal. I don't know what was going on, but I stood in front of the mirror and I go, Vasavi, it's time to make a decision. What would you like to do? You've been dilly-dallying for the past hour. And I looked at myself, and what I actually said back to myself was quite fascinating. I said to myself, you know, it's really hard for me to make a decision right now. I kind of don't know what I want to do, so I'm going to do nothing right now. And do you want to know something? I gave myself the permission to lay down on my bed right here, and I just put my hand over my heart, Justine, and I said, you know, let's just feel what comes up, and then we can make a decision. And what I realized I actually just needed was to rest, was to pause, was to not keep going and going and going from one task to another. I needed to chill for a second. And then what I did after that was I just went for a 5-minute walk and I cleared my head. Like oftentimes the thing that we need to be doing or want to be doing is right around the corner from you just giving yourself that gift of pause. So you can just tap into yourself and what your body is asking for rather than being run into the ground with our minds, right? I really want people to become more in touch with their bodies and their emotions so they start making more heart-centered decisions rather than being driven by their brain all the time.
Well, what you're saying, and you repeated it several times, it's like these triggers, these things that we might call hold us back, let's say when we're feeling frustrated or angry or helpless or guilty or whatever these feelings are, they actually are in our body. They live in our body. So it's not just like thinking about it or a psychological process. You're talking about something else. Can you help us understand better what you're talking about?
Yeah. So I feel like when we do not allow ourselves to express anything, right? It can be anything. So just use your imagination, right? Like, you know, that phrase, you know, keep a stiff upper lip. Don't show the emotion. Don't this, or it's wrong to do that. It's like when you're keeping stuff inside of you, it's like, where do these emotions go? Where do these unexpressed desires go? Where do they go? And I've been fascinated by that since I was a kid. And for me, it's like keeping that inside. It's just getting stored inside of my body. And I believe that we are all just creative channels. that creative spirit moves through us, God moves through us, whatever you want to say, my best creative ideas, inspiration, it just moves through us. And we're meant to be these free flowing beings that have, we don't want to clog ourselves. And so I honestly, I look at saying it out loud and the process of it almost like a verbal laxative, you know, instead of keeping our emotions stuck inside of us and, you know, feeling like we're just time bomb waiting to go off and we're just so afraid to say the words. I'm like, just say it and release it, release the shame, release the desire, release the apology. What is the thing that you need to say? What is it that you're holding back from saying? Even as something as simple as, you know, I was working with a client the other day and I asked her, I go, what do you want? What, like, simple question, what do you want? And she's already a piano teacher. She teaches young children, right? And she goes, what I really want to do is be a pianist at some of the best restaurants and hotels in Austin, Texas, where I'm from. And I was like, okay. She said it. She goes, I've never said mm-hmm. that out loud. I go, yeah. Well, now you can't lie to yourself anymore.
Right. Right.
You say it out loud. You can't lie to yourself.
It's once it lands on your mm-hmm. eardrum, you can't unhear it. It's mm-hmm. there. And that's that first manifestation of our dream, really, mm-hmm. once we say it out loud. This really goes to discovering our triggers that often hijack us, so to mm-hmm. speak. In reading your book and doing things, it always causes me to do more research, and I'm looking around, and I came across something from a Canadian physician. His name is Gabor Maté, and he focuses on mental health and mostly child health. And he wrote something that I just thought went right along with what you're mm-hmm. teaching and doing. And it is about, we all are desiring something or longing for something or judging or are rejecting, where that's part of our life. And oftentimes what he's talking about, oftentimes we project then like, oh, they're doing that to us. They've done that to us, and that's what they're doing to us. Or oh, this situation, it, you know, I have nothing to do with it. It's just happening to me. He says maybe it's just as important to be curious about your reaction to the person or what's happening to you or the repetitive thing that you're dealing with, regret or shame or anger, and to look at that situation, be as it's curious about what is triggering you, and take it back inside, so to speak, is what he's saying, rather than blaming mm-hmm. that. Maybe it's really happening on the outside. Maybe somebody really is being unfair. But look at, what is my reaction? And is there a voice inside me that wants to tell me more about this reaction? And that's what he's talking about. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to get swept away by the other person. We've all done it. I do it. Do I still do it? Absolutely. I'm human. So this book is not about, you know, you're going to read it, you're going to be this perfect person who never gets triggered. No, I will never say that the goal in life is to not get triggered, because you are human. You are going to get triggered. The way you respond to the trigger is what is the game changer, right? So yes. Do I still sometimes have a visceral reaction to something that's happening or something that has been said to me or a certain tone of voice that someone has spoken to me or something not going my way? Of course. But the gap between the reaction and everything else that follows has gotten very small. So I can react in the moment, and then I'll say, Vasavi, what's really going on inside of you right now? Then it's no longer about this person. I am no longer giving my power away to that person. I am now fully focused on my internal experience. My internal experience is the only thing I have control over, period. Then I can say, what's going on inside of me? Oh, I'm really annoyed at this person. I'm annoyed that things aren't going on my timeline. I'm annoyed. Okay, what do you need right now? You know what? Maybe I need to give myself some grace. Maybe I need to give the other person some grace. maybe I just need to have some patience and let myself and tell myself it's all going to work out as it divinely is going to work out. And there is a bigger plan here for you. Don't worry. And, you know, just really learning to talk to yourself in a way that takes you off the ledge, because we are the only person that can disturb our peace. Honestly, I mean, I realize that there are not many people who can really rob me of my peace. I do a really good job of that. So my point is, when you realize that you are the gatekeeper of your own peace, you instantly get your power back. And I feel so many of us walk around feeling powerless in our life because we've given our power away to other people, places, and things. And what I'm suggesting is, when you get triggered by something, use that as an opportunity to learn more about yourself. It's actually quite fun when you start to be like, oh, I didn't expect myself to react that way. Oh, that person really set me off. I wonder what that's about. You can have a lot more fun with yourself. It doesn't have to be so serious and deep all the time, even though it is deep, right? It is deep, but you can go about it in a very playful and curious and kind and compassionate way with yourself. And I think life stays fun that way.
You know, when you talk about this, there was a moment when I was reading the book and I thought to myself, okay, one of the things that has come up for me, let's say, is regret. Mm-hmm. There might be a moment, I might be watching a movie or reading a book or something, and my husband has passed on. It's been more than 10 years now, and he was my work partner as well as the love of my life. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I didn't love him enough, or, oh, I remember this time that I really could have been more kind or whatever. And I have this regret that comes up. And then I tell myself, you know, like a good new age person or whatever, I tell myself, okay, oh, Justine, you did the best you could in the moment. So that takes me off the hook. Mm-hmm. However, and this is where your work comes in, however, it comes back again. That phrase, oh, you did the best you could, that doesn't do it, because there's some process that I have not delved deeply in and talked to some part of me that keeps bringing this up. And so you talk about this. You talk about when there's something that keeps coming back or a situation that keeps coming back, that's something to look at. Am I getting that?
Yeah. I mean, the things that keep coming back, these narratives, these stories, they want your attention. I love that what you just shared, because you did the best you could. But I think really what it sounds like you're seeking is a dose of really real honesty with yourself. You have the opportunity to be, and I don't know anything about that situation, but I do know if you have a voice in your head that's like constantly bringing that up, maybe there's an opportunity for you and anyone listening who's gone through something similar, I know I've gone through this, to be straight up with yourself and be like, you know what? I was really rude. I think it's very hard for us to admit when we've been unkind. And it's like, yeah, you know what? I was a real jerk to my spouse. I could have been way nicer. I was unkind. Like, own it. This is about owning who you are. Like, listen, Justine, there are some things.
Keep that thought.
Yeah.
Keep that thought. There is something, because we're going to be right back. I'm here with Vasavi Kumar. She's the author of Say It Out Loud. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts.